This episode of The Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Do you want liberty in your lifetime? The Free State Project is our best chance. We are people who know that liberty will not be achieved by more of the same tactics and are committed to a strategy that will work. Check us out on the web at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
This is The Lou Rockwell Show.
How wonderful to have as our guest, Professor Guido Holzman. Dr. Holzman is professor of economics, in fact, holds a chair at the University of Angers in France. He's also head of the department. He's a senior fellow of the Mises Institute, works closely with the Grove City College as well, and author of the best book ever written on an economist. That is Mises, The Last Night of Liberalism, his great biography of Ludwig von Mises, author of a number of other books, but especially most recently, The Ethics of Money Production. These are both available at Mises.org. Also, his wonderful monograph, Cheering on Deflation. He's one of the few economists, therefore one of the few correct economists, to have the proper view of deflation. That is actually, of course, a wonderful thing and a corrective to the evil of what the government's doing. So, Guido, I want to talk to you about the evil the government's been doing. I mean, here they've put us into this horrendous crisis. It had to do with the ethics of money production. It had to do with inflation, the opposite of deflation. So tell us, what have they been doing to us?
Well, first of all, government interventions in the past have created the present mess in which we are, because we have pursued not only an expansionary monetary policy, but we have done something even more fundamental in creating a certain monetary order, monetary system, that creates the characteristic problems that we now have experienced on the financial markets. What are these problems? They were known for a long time. Financial markets are fragile, and this fragility manifests itself in two facts. First of all, banks and investment companies tend to have very low cash balances, and the reason is that we have a monetary system that is based on paper money. So we have our central banks that are paper money producers, and they can therefore, without any technical or commercial economic limitation, produce as much money as they wish, and therefore prevent liquidity crises without any problem. As soon as one bank has a liquidity problem, that is, has invested too much of its assets in, let's say, fixed investments and does not have enough cash on hand, so would have to liquidate part of the fixed investments to make ongoing payments. It does not have to do this, actually. It can get a credit at very short notice, let's say overnight or for a week or for a month, can get a short credit to any amount. So in principle, it's unlimited from the central bank. So there's no longer any need to hold significant cash balances. And what the market participants also do is to reduce their equity. The only reason why companies hold equity is to protect themselves against fluctuations of the value of their investments. So if they have, let's say, a total investment of $100 million and they finance this with their own money, so this is equity and with a part in debt, then if there's a fluctuation on the asset side, this will always have a negative repercussion or a positive repercussion on the equity. Your debts just remain what they are. It's only your equity that fluctuates. So if your investment goes up from 100 to 120, then this means that the value of your own money has increased by $20 million. If it decreases from $100 million to $80 million, then the value of your equity has decreased by $20 million. So the whole point of equity is to survive, so to say, such fluctuations. Let's say if you have only $10 million equity out of $100 million total investments, and then the value of your investments decreases by $20 million, well, then you are bankrupt. You can no longer pay all your debts back, even if you sold all your investments, all your assets. So the reason why companies keep equity is to survive such fluctuations in the assets. Otherwise, they have a very strong incentive actually to reduce their equity, because this would increase the profitability of their own money. Let's say if the company makes a profit of $10 million, or let's say $5 million on $100 million investments, And it has an equity in the first case of $50 million. Then you have $5 million profit on $50 million equity, so a 10% return on your own money. Now, if you reduce your equity from $50 million to $5 million, then you have 100% return on investment. So companies, whatever the field, whatever the sector, have a very strong incentive to reduce equity, their own money, as much as possible. And the only reason why they wouldn't do this is to protect themselves against the fluctuations of the market. But now come our friends at the Federal Reserve and other central banks, and they stabilize the aggregate value of financial assets and industrial assets. So as a consequence, there is less incentive and less need, actually, to hold as much equity as before. So everybody who cooperates with the central banks is starting to reduce the amount of money that they own, actually. And they finance more and more out of their investments by debt. Now, this is perfectly rational from an individual point of view, but of course, it renders the entire industry fragile. As soon as then one market participant becomes bankrupt, for whatever reason, he might have simply made wrong investments, he calculated wrong. What he needs to do then, being bankrupt, is to liquidate his investments. So selling the assets that he held before will depress the market price of these assets, and this will have negative repercussions on the balance sheets of all other market participants. It will decrease the value of their assets, so they are in trouble too. And therefore, we get a snowball effect, one bankruptcy entailing other bankruptcies, which is exactly what we have observed in the past 18 months. So in this case, we might say already the monetary system has created a great fragility of the financial system that would not have existed and has not, in fact, existed under a more traditional monetary system such as a gold standard or silver standard or parallel standards, gold and silver, competing freely on the market. And these points need to be stressed, I think, because many people think that it's the actual choices by our monetary authorities that have created the present mess. There has been bad management of monetary affairs in the past. I don't share this analysis or this opinion. It's certainly true that human beings are not perfect, so I mean, we cannot explicitly expect that the managers of the Federal Reserve and other central banks are perfect investors and perfect human beings who would just know exactly what to do at each second. But there's the fundamental point is not that they were bad managers. Actually, I think some of them are very, very good managers, and they have retarded the breakout of the present crisis through smart management of the monetary system. But the whole problem is the monetary system per se. The problem is that the market participants know that there is this institution which has unlimited technical possibility of bailing out everybody, and which on top of this has a very strong incentive to bail out market participants that become too big, and the failure of whom might entail a snowball effect that entails then the collapse of the entire financial market.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Is the growth of government driving you crazy? Is it frustrating you that you can't do anything about it? Now you can. Join the Free State Project. Move to New Hampshire and get active with other liberty activists who have already slowed the growth of government in New Hampshire. Go to freestateproject.org.
But Gita, why should we worry? We have this wonderful institution, the Federal Reserve. They'll print whatever is necessary. Nobody need go bankrupt. Nobody needs to have any equity. Sounds like a utopia, doesn't it?
Well, the present crisis is very interesting, actually, in that it has shown the limitations of the present monetary orthodoxy, which is actually the much larger, or part of a much larger orthodoxy in monetary in economic policy as a whole. We had until the 1970s, from the 1930s approximately until the 1970s, the dominance of the Keynesian monetary paradigm, which recommended massive government expenditure to to increase growth rates within the economy, to prevent unemployment and so on, financed by deficit spending. And this dominance evaporated under the oil crisis, or the several oil crises in the 1970s and early 1980s, when people saw that actually this was not an appropriate way to reduce unemployment, which stayed at high as before. So all that we got was stagflation, that is an increase of inflation rates combined with high unemployment and lacking economic growth. So what followed then was the dominance of the monetarist paradigm, which recommended that the government stay out of the picture and so reduce its spending as much as possible, which it actually did not do. But this was, again, a contradiction with the official view. The official view was the government cannot increase by its expenditure growth rates. So the U.S. government, for example, then focused on military expenditure, which was deemed to be somewhat outside of normal economic activity. And the actual management of the macroeconomy was left to the central bank, so to the monetary producer. So it was believed that central banks can prevent bank runs, they can prevent systemic crises under any circumstances. And this belief, this dominance of this ideology evaporates presently in the present crisis. People see that the central bank cannot relieve this problem, and it's relatively easy to understand why this is the case. Let's say I am bankrupt, so the value of my debts is, let's say, $90 million, and my assets are only worth $80 million. It doesn't help me if the central bank comes along and gives me another credit of $10 million. Then, of course, I have $10 million more in my cash balance, but I have also $10 million more on my liability side. So traditional central bank policy is powerless if we are confronted to an insolvability crisis, which is the type of crisis that we have now. Central banks can only help us to get over liquidity crises. But the present crisis is not a liquidity crisis. It's an insolvability crisis, which has resulted from massive malinvestments that occurred in the past. Why have people massively malinvested? Well, because due to the whole insurance that seemed to be given through the presence of the central banks, people have created bull markets, first on the stock market. This was in the second half of the 1990s. And now in the present decade, it was on the real estate market. So because prices went constantly up, and especially in the case of real estate, which is much bigger than the stock market, is about, well, 50% more in size, we had the creation of artificial incomes, imaginary incomes, and imaginary wealth. And this had as a consequence that the real economy, that is industrial investments, were now being reshuffled to be geared toward the satisfaction of such consumers who appear to be rich and appear to be to have a high income. And this reshuffling of the productive structure of the industrial investments took place on a planetary scale. They were in China and in Europe, in the US, and we have an international division of labor, which is a wonderful thing. But so all firms are geared to one another in a very delicate balance, as always. But ultimately, all geared toward the satisfaction of a wealth that did not exist. The wealth evaporated now finally in the crisis. So it was clear that these people who seemed to be so rich were really empty, or they were naked like the naked emperor. And as a consequence, all the industrial investments that have taken place, well, not all of them, but a great part of this, was no longer profitable. So it needs to be abandoned. A part of this needs to be abandoned, or the capital has to be used otherwise, and which is precisely the problem that we confront. So these companies that have made bad industrial investments are now non-profitable and often insolvent, and the central banks can do nothing about it. And on the other, so that's the reason why now in the past 5 months or so, there has been a return to the Keynesian orthodoxy, which can be explained by a technical point. From a technical point of view, it's true that whereas central banks are powerless when they are faced with an insolvability crisis, government spending can address the insolvability of individual companies. What government spending does is to increase the value of the assets, because they simply spend more money on the products being churned out by these companies. And governments can also spend money on buying stock of the company, so they replenish the equity side of the company. So whereas central banks are powerless, government spending according to Keynesian orthodoxy, is actually not powerless in bringing back into life these zombie companies. But so then many people thought, well, now we have found the bonanza, we have found the solution. But they forgot that this is a partial sectorial solution, whereas we have a macroeconomic problem. The macroeconomic problem is the lack of capital. We are lacking raw materials and labor in particular, and also stock of intermediate products to finish all the production projects that have been begun. That's our basic problem. Now, what the government spending is doing is to channel the available resources in order to help the companies in difficulties, which is fine, so the government saves these companies. But that means, of course, that all these real resources, labor, raw materials, intermediate products, are no longer available elsewhere in the economy. So in the best of all cases, we are just consuming all net savings, all new net savings, so we are renouncing to growth. And in the normal case, we are actually consuming capital, so real resources that would be needed just to upkeep the other production processes that are also being begun. So we are wasting capital, we are wasting real resources rather than just maintaining things. So we are impoverishing ourselves right now. That's the main negative consequence of the present reaction of our governments to the economic crisis. Rather than solving the problems from an aggregate point of view, they're helping individual companies at the expense of the rest of the society. And this is not a zero-sum game, it's a negative-sum game, because we are, on the aggregate, consuming our resources, so slowly impoverishing all of society.
Thank you, Federal Reserve and federal government.
Thank you, Lou, for bringing this to the public.
Guido, thank you very much for that wonderful explanation of exactly what is happening. And great to have you on. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.